Land Solutions, and we will hear from Mr. Sponseller.
Good morning, Dan Sponseller for the appellants, David W. Pennington et al. As alleged in the complaint in this case, this action concerns four trusts that were established by ComEd and funded entirely with ComEd customer money. And they were established by ComEd under the Illinois Statute 8-508.1, which specifically states how those trusts' funds shall thereafter be used and distributed. And it states that ComEd ratepayers have a specific...
Well, when ComEd, or through Exelon, Exelon owns ComEd, doesn't it?
Yes.
When it decided to hire Zion Solutions to dismantle and discard this nuclear plant, didn't it have to give them the money?
Your Honor, the terms of the trust...
Just to answer the question. It had to give the money, the trust money, to Zion Solutions to finance the dismantlement of the nuclear reactor, right?
Your Honor, it...
Well, just yes or no.
It did not have to...
Yes or no. Did it have to?
They had a...
Can't you just answer yes
said,
or no?
The contract said...
Why don't you just say yes or no to a question that can be answered yes or no?
Your Honor,
answer yes or no?
The answer is no, Your Honor. They did
I don't understand that. Then how is the dismantlement to be financed if not with all this trust money?
The reason they did not have to give that money is because the terms of the trust under which the trust was created specifically provided how those trust funds shall be used. And to the extent those trust funds...
I don't understand you. Was it and speak louder also, because I can't hear you. It was proper, surely, for Exelon or ComEd or what have you to dismantle this nuclear reactor. And that costs a lot of money. And the trust money was collected to finance the dismantlement. Now, if the dismantlement was going to be done by Zion Solutions, didn't Zion Solutions need the trust money to finance its work?
Yes, Your Honor, they depended when they entered into this transaction on having access to those trust funds. However, the trust terms that apply to those trust funds provide that they can be used for reasonable decommissioning costs. And Zion Solutions is using that money not just for reasonable decommissioning costs, but as we allege in the complaint, they're using it for excess profits.
Well, let me come back at mm-hmm. this from a slightly different angle. There are a couple of events that happen here. One of them is in 2001 when ComEd transfers the units, essentially an internal transfer to Exelon Generation. And then in 2010, Zion Solutions enters the picture. I'm looking at, just to begin with, the Illinois statute, and I don't see anything in this statute that says that monies from the trust funds have to be doled out job by job instead of in gross. And so what seems to have happened is in 2010, at least, the decision is made that all of the decommissioning is going to be done by Zion Solutions, and so the money is taken out of the ComEd trust funds, and it's poured into the new trust funds that Zion Solutions creates all at once, because this is a decommissioning operation. This is an agent that's going to take care of the decommissioning. So when I look at C3 in the Illinois statute, distributions may be made from a nuclear decommissioning trust only to satisfy the liabilities for nuclear decommissioning costs. I don't see why they can't do it this way. That's the purpose for which that money was collected. It's now being held in new trust funds, which are being monitored by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And I just don't see what you seem implicitly to think, that it's got to be contract by contract or job by job instead of in gross.
Your Honor, I think you're right and you're on target, except to the extent that the full $700 million was paid to this trust or to Zion Solutions, and that
which has now put it in comparable trusts through the Mellon trust, right?
Your Honor, but those amounts are in excess, as we allege. Those $700 million-plus dollars.
Well, you're too early for that, because we don't really know if they're in excess or not, and we won't know until the decommissioning process is over. This is apparently a process that can take up to 60 years. But I have no idea whether the $700 million is enough now or isn't, and if it turns out at the end of the day not to be enough, then there's a flow backwards, which will eventually go to the ratepayers. But the ratepayer, if what you seem to want is for the ratepayers to get all this money right now and to leave Zion Solutions penniless to fund the decommissioning, which seems like an insane solution under these statutes.
Your Honor, in count one of the complaint, we're not seeking that. And in count one, to be very precise, it is because Zion Solutions is now taking out of those trust funds costs and expenses, as we allege in the complaint, that are not themselves reasonable decommissioning costs.
Why don't you complain to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission?
Your Honor, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is concerned about safety. They have anything they might do, and they're not obligated to do anything.
Have you complained to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission?
We have not, Your Honor.
Well, I don't understand. I don't see what sense it makes to having a district judge trying to figure out what are appropriate expenditures for a dismantling operation when you have a regulatory commission, which is actually a competent regulatory commission with technical expertise, that you can go to and tell them, you know, there are abuses going on here. This money is being wasted. Why isn't that the first step? First step, go to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. If you don't get satisfaction there, maybe you have some right of action, but you're putting the judicial cart before the regulatory horse.
Your Honor, the reason we've come to court first instead of that is because the law of trusts gives the beneficiaries
a
trust.
No, that is not a reason. That is part of your legal argument that, you know, you're just enforcing common law trust. The question is, what sense does it make to have this litigated under trust law when you have this regulatory commission?
Because the regulatory commission is concerned primarily with safety, not with whether these...
It's not concerned just with safety. It's concerned with the regulation of the nuclear power industry. It doesn't want to see wasteful wasteful diversion of funds, which ought to be used for dismantling, being diverted into the pockets of, you know, investors or what have you.
Its concerns are that there be enough money there to fund the decommissioning. It is not about whether money in excess of that is being spent unnecessarily. There are not the same rights in front of the Nuclear Commission. Whatever they do is purely discretionary.
You say you couldn't complain to them that they don't have jurisdiction to deal with this problem?
I don't think they do have jurisdiction, Your Honor, to provide relief to the ratepayers for the overspending.
Not the kind of relief, but the point is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, if you look at these regulations, has a system set up of pretty extensive oversight of what's going on with the decommissioning process. There are decommissioning reports that are required in 10 CFR 50.75. These reports are publicly available. You can go on a website and find them. And so there's an opportunity for public surveillance of what's going on. And it seems to me, again, to assert a current interest on the part of parties who are at best residual beneficiaries is really not, even from the point of view of the law of trusts, the right way to do this. There's a block of money. It may or may turn out to be enough, may or may not turn out to be enough. And there is a system, if it turns out to be too much, to get it back. If there's been waste, perhaps at some point you could sue, although it's not clear to me that your clients are beneficiaries of the Zion Trusts, the New York Trusts. They may be beneficiaries of the ComEd Trusts, but there's nothing there, or a very residual, you know, small amount left in the ComEd Trusts at this point. So I really think you're here at the wrong time, and in a sense what Judge Posner is talking about is almost a primary jurisdiction argument, that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is the entity that supervises decommissioning. Regulations galore about that.
Your Honor, the reports that are filed are very summary with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And what we have now is money that's going out the door.
Yes, but of course that money that's going out the door makes it less likely that these reactors will be dismantled properly and in a timely fashion. And that's something that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is centrally concerned with. How much money are we talking about?
Your Honor, they're spending money of...
I'm talking about numbers. So how much is the trust fund supposed to be? What, $700
million? It was $700 million. It's now down to about $450.
Okay, so according to you, $250 million out of $700 million, which is almost 40% of all the money allocated for the dismantling, is being or has been dissipated. Well, that obviously has to affect the ability and the timing of the dismantlement.
Your Honor, it's what it's been spent on.
Are you saying they established a $700 million fund to finance the dismantlement when it's only going to cost $450 million?
Yes, Your Honor. We think that it would cost only $450 million if they were not taking out costs for
a letter of credit that don't qualify as decommissioning costs. They created a $700 million. So this is what, some massive fraud against the ratepayers. They create a $700 million a trust fund for dismantling.
It's an estimate, Your Honor.
Knowing it's only going to cost $450 million?
No, Your Honor, it was an estimate when it was created. This was created.
It was a generous estimate. When ComEd transferred the assets to Exelon, the Illinois Commerce Commission thought that there was a $3.1 billion deficit in the decommissioning trusts. I mean, there are wide ranges of estimates about what this process is going to cost, and $700 million may be even on the low end of the extremes.
So what we're here with, we have estimates, and we have things that the money can be spent on that qualify as decommissioning costs under the terms of the statute. They are spending money now that does not qualify as decommissioning costs.
What's
and
your
which
evidence
therefore
for that?
Your Honor, in their public statements, they used to be a public company. They've now gone private. They say...
Zion's they here?
Zion Solutions.
Okay. When you say they used to be a public company, are you speaking about Zion Solutions?
Zion Solutions parent company. It's
an LLC.
They say that they're spending money to fund an LLC for $200 million that they got so that they could structure this in a manner where they would acquire the license, and they say so that they could avoid layers of review in getting the money out.
In other words, maybe they say we're trying to make sure we've organized the decommissioning process in an efficient way.
But it's not a legitimate decommissioning cost, nor is the amount that they're charging for simply moving spent fuel on site to another site to store. That's an obligation that arises because the Department of Energy hasn't taken the money. It's an obligation of Exelon that owes it. It doesn't qualify, and this is the essence of the case and why count one should be preserved. It doesn't qualify as a legitimate decommissioning cost. They're also taking money as a profits of 15 to 20%.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has no interest in costs being classified as decommissioning costs when they're really gravy being skimmed off by the decommissioner?
Your Honor, they may have an interest in that.
You're not answering my question.
Does
the commission have an interest in phony decommissioning costs?
They have an interest in that.
Answer my question, yes or no. Do they have an interest if gravy is being described as decommissioning expense, but it's not being used for decommissioning?
And the answer there, Your Honor, is no, unless it leaves them without enough money, in the NRC's view, to finishing the commissioning.
Right?
And they are concluding that it does leave them without enough money. It does leave them with enough money to finish the decommissioning, which is exactly our point.
Has the commission determined that this will only cost $450 million?
No, they haven't. No.
Well, how do we know?
They make an estimate, though, under the regulations that they...
How do we know that the commission would say, fine, it's just $450 million. You can take all you want above that.
Your Honor...
Why did you ask them?
We don't know.
Ask them.
We could ask them, but that doesn't deprive the
Yes,
the
it does. Well, this is the point about primary jurisdiction. What's the correct sequence in which to do it? Is to have a district judge trying to make these determinations, or is it to ask the regulatory commission? Maybe the regulatory commission will say, "Oh, we don't care. Go fight it out in court," or maybe they'll say, yeah, we'll take a look at this, and certainly we are concerned about, I mean, Judge Wood mentioned the $3.1 billion initial estimate of what this decommissioning might cost.
That's not accurate, Your Honor. I don't know where that comes from.
The Illinois Commerce Commission thought that in 2001.
Okay, but, Your Honor, if it is a primary jurisdiction question, then the proper ruling below was not to dismiss the claims with prejudice on the merits, as saying that the ComEd customers never have any claims under that 85081. That's what the lower court's decision says, that they never have any claims under 85081.
So would you be content if we said that the case doesn't have to be dismissed, but it should be suspended while the plaintiffs go to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and get its ruling on these issues?
Your Honor, we wouldn't be entirely satisfied with that because if there were a time limit put on it, or something like that, what we did with the NRC, it could get caught up in there while this money is going out the door. And Your Honor, the customers...
Money's going out the door? What, you want a preliminary injunction?
Your Honor, we would not be able to post the bond for that. We would like a preliminary. To the extent it's going out for costs that do not qualify as legitimate decommissioning costs.
Go to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and say you've got to act quickly because the money is, you know, leaking out and there isn't going to be any money for the decommissioning. Of course, your whole proposition is there's plenty of money for the decommissioning.
Correct, Your Honor.
If the NRC agrees with you, then you're all set.
In the meantime, we have to look at how the Illinois legislature set this up with this trust. And trust law...
But the Illinois legislature is working under the umbrella of the federal regulation of the nuclear power industry, which has been very comprehensive ever since the Atomic Energy Act was passed.
Your Honor...
So I would actually like you to kind of wrap up, if you could do that.
Okay. Your Honor, I was going to say that this is a very important case. This is the first time of decommissioning a nuclear power plant after more than $4 billion of these trust funds are set up. And what we have here is a ruling by a federal district court saying the customers, by dismissing count one, saying the customers have no rights to anything under these trusts, other than whatever the NRC might, in its discretion, unreviewable discretion.
Why do you say unreviewable?
Your Honor, to the extent the NRC is reviewing requests by citizens to take action that does not go directly to the safety of the operation of a plant, the NRC has discretion of whether to take action or not. And then that type of discretion is not reviewable by courts. And even if it were reviewable, it would be a review of discretion of whether to take action or not. That's not the equivalent of protecting the specific rights of beneficiaries under the Illinois statute that they give and that they get. For that reason, we would ask that the lower court's rulings be reversed.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Schutte.
Good morning. My name is Scott Schutte, and I represent the appellees, Zion Solutions, LLC, and Bank of New York Mellon. I agree with counsel, this is an important case because to be clear about what the plaintiffs are trying to do here is that they are trying, as plaintiffs represented by class action counsel, to micromanage the decommissioning of a nuclear power plant. The challenges here are not structural. They are not arguing that the system currently in place doesn't provide the same protections that the Public Utility Act provided. Specifically on two points. One is this notion that eventually, if there is money left over, and I would note that the Illinois Commerce Commission characterized that in the unlikely event there is money left over, that it will eventually go back to the ratepayers. That's taken care of. They aren't complaining about that. Second point is that there is a carburetor on the expenses here. The expenses have to be limited to decommissioning costs, reasonable decommissioning costs. Structurally, that is in place.
So let me ask you a couple of questions. I was a little concerned with the district court's assumption that there was zero interest in the ratepayers, because if you look at the Illinois statute 5/8508, part C2 actually specifically mentions the utility's customers as what I'm going to call a residual beneficiary. You know, once everything is all done, if there's any money left over, it goes to you. You know, maybe there isn't anything. That happens sometimes if all you have is a residual interest in a trust. But under the law of trusts, residual beneficiaries have some interest. So that theory doesn't work for me. What I am interested in is more discussion from you about I mean, you have focused in your brief on the fact that the trusts that we now are talking about are the Mellon, the Bank of New York Mellon trusts, the Zion trusts, or whatever we want to call them, not the original public utility trusts. And so there's a question whether the statute applies to the trusts that we're now trying to manage. And there's also a question about what exactly the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is or is not willing to do. So if you could talk about those two things.
Sure, Your Honor. First of all, as Your Honor notes, the trusts that are in place right now and that the money is being pulled out of are trusts that were established by Zion Solutions in 2010 that are separate and distinct from the original ComEd trusts.
Different it's trusts. Just that they were funded by the assets, right? The assets get poured from the public utility trusts into the Zion trusts.
As part of that,
the Illinois Public Utility Commission have to approve that?
No, Your Honor. In the 2001 transaction, that was the one with 6 days of evidentiary hearing and a number of interveners.
That's the Exelon transaction.
Exactly. The ICC specifically noted that if they approved this transaction, they would no longer have jurisdiction over the trust funds. And that's noted.
That's fine. But what you're saying is that that ComEd a trust having been created pursuant to Illinois law for the ratepayers, ComEd couldn't just take that money and transfer it without the permission of the Illinois agency. The fact they transferred it first to Exelon and then to Zion, that presumably is okay if what the Illinois agency is saying is you can give it to Exelon and then Exelon can do what it wants with it.
Yeah, Your Honor, I believe that is what the ICC said in their 2001 order that was affirmed on appeal, which was that it looked at and considered arguments by interveners that if you approve this transaction, these trust monies will be outside the purview of the ICC, and the ICC noted that and issued their order and allowed the transactions. Plaintiffs are not even standing in front of this court and arguing that 2010 transaction was improper.
The one to the Zion Trust.
Yes, Your Honor, the transfer between ExGen or Exelon and the Zion Trust, which was a transfer of trust assets. No one is saying that's improper.
And that's what confuses me about their whole theory, because that's when the trust monies move over to the control of the decommissioning agent, Zion.
Right, Your Honor. Yeah. Right. And Your Honor, one of the points that we believe was not made below but is raised on appeal is this notion that this is not brought under the Act, the Illinois Public Utility Act. It's a common law trust theory. And one point I want to make sure I get across is that they are not beneficiaries. Certainly not beneficiaries of the Zion Solution Trust. That trust is in the record. The only beneficiaries are listed, and no third-party beneficiaries, in fact, are excluded. The argument has to be that they were beneficiaries of the original ComEd trusts, and they are not. Have never been. The benefit.
I think you're overreaching there, but it may not matter, since, again, this. Suppose at the end of the day, you know, it's 2030 and they finally have finished decommissioning these plants and there's $100 million left over. What's going to happen to that $100 million in the Zion Trusts?
By the mechanism of the trust itself, that money must be transmitted to ExGen. And then by virtue of the 2001 transaction documents between ComEd and ExGen, it flows back to ComEd. And then ComEd is under the obligation under the statute to disperse it back to the
ratepayers. Subpart C, too, yeah.
Exactly. And Your Honor, I want to address your overreaching point. It's the relationship created by the statute is one, the IPUA, if it creates a relationship, it's between the trust and ComEd. It does not, and nothing in the statute suggests that it creates a relationship directly between the trust and the ratepayers, because if that were the case, it's unworkable, because any one of hundreds of thousands of ratepayers could veto or come in and challenge, make an argument. I realize that counsel's making arguments he thinks are worth tens of millions of dollars, but why would it not be an argument that you paid $100 for a hammer when you should have only paid $50? It's an unworkable solution, and it could not have been the intent of the statute to create a beneficiary relationship that allowed them to jump in and intervene with every aspect of a nuclear power plant decommissioning. I mean, the claim would then be, I suppose, that even if ComEd still retained the trust funds, that the plaintiffs would be able to come in and micromanage how ComEd was doing the decommissioning.
Well, those strike me as two different issues. One is the ability of the customers on an ongoing basis to monitor the wisdom of every expenditure, and I agree with you that that's a nightmare. The other, though, is if when all is said and done, there's money left over, these are named people in the statute, the utilities customers, and so should there be some dispute about whether the day the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says, the Zion plant is finally finished, then maybe they would have an ability to sue. I mean, they are, in fact, named as people with a right to the money.
Your Honor, I would not agree with that because
they are named, which part do you not agree with?
That they would. I agree that the ratepayers are named, but I don't agree that they would have the right to sue. Certainly, either of my clients, Zion Solutions and Bank of New York Mellon, perhaps they would have a claim against ComEd, but there is no relationship under the original trust or the current trust that would give them the right to sue Zion Solutions. I would like to make sure that I mention that the court has asked questions about the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and that scheme is extensive. As Judge Lefkoe noted, there is a provision in place that the plaintiffs can petition in writing, and the director of the local office of the NRC is required to respond in writing to the complaints. So there's NRC regulation. There are also Department of Treasury regulations because we have tax-qualified trusts, and if it were to turn out that the expenditures were not being made for reasonable expenses for decommissioning, that would have tax implications. We've also pointed out that the trusts themselves, the current trusts, make ComEd and ExGen, who have interest. The reason I got into this is because ComEd has an interest in watching over the expenditures, and they have, under the trust agreements, the current trust agreements, the right to, as a beneficiary, to come in and challenge costs. And finally,
what is ComEd's interest?
ComEd's interest is that they are beneficiaries of the current trust, and so they have the right to intervene because presumably they want to make sure that they're protecting the interests of their ratepayers.
Well, when you say they're beneficiaries, you mean if there's money left over, it goes to ComEd?
Your Honor, it goes to Exelon first because to ComEd.
It flows backward, all the way back eventually to the ratepayers who originally funded.
Right. So it puts the same structure in place that the Public Utilities Act does. The question here is not, does the money eventually, if it's left over, go to the ratepayers? That, under the IPUA or the current structure, the answer is yes.
What your opponent is saying is that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has no interest. It's interested in seeing the plants dismantled. But it has no interest in whether this is done in economical fashion.
Your Honor, I disagree and actually believe that points up one of the main reasons, at least from a public policy perspective, this claim has to fail. The NRC, of course, has interest in a safe decommissioning, but they also have, and we cited this in our papers, one of their primary goals is to have reasonable assurances that there are sufficient funds in the trust funds to do the decommissioning. And so they have not only an obligation to see the decommissioning through safely, they have an obligation to make sure there's enough money there, whether it's 10 years or 20 years or 30 years down the road, to do that last thing that has to be done to finalize the decommissioning. So they do have an incentive to look over these expenditures and to make sure the money's not being spent unwisely. I would also add, Your Honor, that Zion Solutions has an interest.
Your opponent says that it's only going to cost $450 million, so there's NRC would have no interest because there's such a huge cushion.
But Your Honor, as Judge Wood pointed out, how much it's going to cost over the course of 30, 40 years to do a nuclear power plant decommissioning is an open question. It could be $450, it could be $3.1 billion. One of the things that was in this deal for the ratepayers, there was part of this deal that was good for the ratepayers, the ComEd to Exelon transaction, which is the ICC said, you can continue to collect money for the decommissioning trust for six more years until 2006, but then it's done. No more money from ratepayers. Had the money, had ComEd continued to own this trust, the ratepayers not only would have been on the hook to collect on an ongoing basis, but if the decommissioning funds ultimately were not enough to decommission a nuclear power plant, that's something that ComEd would have been responsible for and presumably would have looked back to the ratepayers. So this deal...
Can I ask you about 35.32? That's one of the regulations you attached to your brief, which seems to be about these funds. You know, if a public utility is elected to provide for decommissioning through a fund, it's various criteria, and you get to... Subpart 6, absent the express authorization of the commission, no part of the assets of the fund may be used for or diverted to any purpose other than to fund the costs of decommissioning. And then there's some other things in this. Is that primary regulation that you're...
That's the primary regulation, although it also flows out of 10 CFR 50.75, which addresses... 50.82 has to do with license termination. Because like the ICC, the NRC had to approve these. I want to make sure that this is clear. The ICC did not approve the 2010 transaction. The NRC had to, though, because it was a transfer of the license to do the decommissioning. But Judge Wood, the statute, the CFR you cite, 50.82, is relevant, but as is 50.75.
Okay.
Your Honor, I believe if the court doesn't have any more questions, I think that I would like to address the question that I believe Judge Posner asked, which was, would you be happy asking Mr. Sponsler if we suspended this until they could take the complaint to the NRC? And the position from the defendants here would be no, that would not be satisfactory because, again, we do not believe that they have standing to challenge the trust, the managing of the decommission through this lawsuit. They have recourse through the NRC, but they do not have this lawsuit, whether the NRC does something or not. It's the NRC that should look at that. It's the IRS that should look at that. It's ComEd and ExGen that should look at that, but it should not be the vehicle for regulating the decommissioning of the Zion Station plant 40 miles from here. It should not be in the hands of these class action plaintiffs. And for all the reasons that we've set out in our briefs as well as today, we'd ask that you affirm the district court and dismiss the complaint.
Okay. Mr. Sponsler, you ran out of time, but I'm going to give you 1 minute, and if you just want to summarize.
Your Honor, to answer your questions about what happens if there is $100 million left at the end after the decommissioning, well, our position is that if the rights of the ratepayers under the Illinois statute, if the money was spent as is required for the reasonable decommissioning cost as defined in there, that might be $200 million or $300 million. So if the beneficiaries are divested of all their claims under the 508.1 by the unilateral action of Zion Solutions getting control from Exelon Generation, both unregulated companies, and that simply divests the rights of the ratepayers to their to any recovery, that is contrary to law and unjustified and deprives them. It's very contrary to their rights cannot be divested without their consent. And what we're here to do, if count one in the dismissal holding that they have no rights under 508.1, which is so that they can do what they want and hope they don't get caught by the NRC.
Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.